Okay, we'll take your Bibles, please, and go to Luke chapter 23, if you will, at this time. Luke 23. So glad to come back. A man said to me, Jerry, welcome home. Well, I feel like I'm coming back home when I come here with you all. And I want to say I had an interesting thing happen this morning. There was a father in the restroom, and his little boy was trying to wash his hands. The father does not know that I heard this. But the little boy was trying to get his hands washed. He couldn't reach the water. And so the father said, son, stand on daddy's shoes. Boy, I thought, what a powerful message in that. And whoever you are, father, you have no idea what an impact you made upon me by that statement. Son, stand on daddy's shoes. You know something in the spiritual realm? The way you live as a father will impact your children, your sons. I had a godly father. My dad's a coal miner back in the hills of West Virginia. My hero, the man that I admired, one of the greatest hunters, the greatest fishermen, one of the greatest swimmers. I mean, my dad was my hero. And what I am today really is the impact of my father because I stood on my father's shoes. In other words, my whole life, my makeup and my drive is nothing but a mirror of my father. And the day, Father, on Father's Day with your children, I hope you realize the great impact you can make upon your children's lives, okay? Now, that message is free, but that's for you fathers, all right? I want to bring a message on Luke chapter 23. As I do, it's all about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ who died for our sins on the cross. My dad, I told you, was a coal miner. My dad worked a half a mile down in the ground and 9 miles back in the hills of West Virginia for over 40 years. Some of the toughest men you want to meet are coal miners. They're strong men and they're brave men. And although my dad worked in the coal mines, we had coal miners come to our home on occasions. And I'll never forget one time, this coal miner came to my home, put his arm around my dad, got very emotional, and turned to me and my other brothers and said, your father saved my life. You see, my dad had an unusual sense when there'd be a fall in the coal mine. And this man was buried in coal and would have died. But my dad rescued him. My dad saved his life. And that man, without being ashamed publicly in front of my dad and my brothers, he said, your dad saved my life. I mean, he got so emotional. Put his arm around my dad and said, weren't for your dad, I'd be a dead man. Well, the day, the world does not know that someone died for you. And that person is God's Son, Jesus Christ. And I briefly want to show you from the Bible a very unusual scene when Christ was dying on the cross for the sin of the whole world. And there were two men who were crucified with him. Would you look at Luke 23 now at verse 39 through 43, please? And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou in the same condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Our dear Father, how we thank you for thy wonderful Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, today we can proclaim this message. We ask for your help. May the Spirit of God be our teacher. May, Father, someone today who's not saved come to Christ. We ask in Christ's name, amen. In this passage, we find an unusual conversation going on between two men who were malefactors. What is a malefactor? He's a thief. That's what a malefactor is. He was being put to death for his crime. So, there was Jesus Christ, the central cross. Then there was one thief on one cross, another thief on the other cross. We find a most unusual conversation that was carried on by these two men directed toward Jesus Christ. And I want to show you these two men. Because the entire world looks at Jesus Christ through the eyesight of one of these two men. The first man, I would call him the rebellious thief. Look at verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him. Stop right there. Look at me. The word rail means to mock, criticize, or condemn. In other words, this man looked at Christ, and the Word of God says he railed upon Jesus Christ. That is, he mocked him. He scoffed at him. And you know something? All of mankind rails upon Christ. Have you ever stopped and wonder why are Jesus Christ and God the only two proper names used as words of profanity? Why not Al Capone? Why not Adolf Hitler? Why not Saddam Hussein? Why Jesus Christ and God used in profanity? And the answer? The devil's put a hatred in the heart of mankind against Jesus Christ. And as this man railed upon Christ, today there are literally thousands of people in our land who will use Jesus Christ and God as words of profanity. This man was a man who railed upon Christ. But second of all, look back in verse 39. The Word of God says, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ. Underline one word in verse 39. Underline the word if. Second of all, this man not only railed on Christ, but he was a man full of unbelief. And one word shows the unbelief. The word if thou be Christ. In other words, he absolutely had no confidence in Jesus Christ. Today, there's a black shroud of unbelief around the hearts of millions of people regarding Christ. Many look at Christ and say, he's a good man. He was a religious leader, but that's all of the unbelief. Many years ago, I worked in Denver, Colorado, building the largest grain elevator at that time in the United States. So if there's any construction workers here today, I know what construction workers are all about. I work 10 hours a day, 6 days a week, building this grain elevator, 130 feet high. And one day we're on the top. We had a man, we had a steel cable. We would lower a man into the tank. And a good friend of mine named Bob was down in the bottom of the tank. We lowered him down there by the steel cable. And then at closing time, we were supposed to bring him back up, but someone came along and took the machine. And so therefore, I had a young man with me. He was a gymnast. I mean, this guy was a phenomenal athlete, outstanding gymnast. And so we threw a rope down there, 130 feet down the tank. And I said, Bob, tie the rope around your waist, under your arms, and we will pull you out of the tank. And Bob said to me, no, Jerry, I can climb out on my own. We said, Bob, you can't do it. He said, yes, I can. And we couldn't convince the man, so he began to climb the rope. Soon, we could see the top of his helmet, and then he was around 4 feet from the top when all of a sudden, he began to scream. He said, I have no more strength. I'm going to fall. As began to scream, this outstanding gymnast fell across the beam, got down and grabbed him by the arm, and And I saw the arms part as my good friend Bob fell all the way as he held on to the rope and burned his hands so badly we had to take him to the hospital as he fell 130 feet and almost was killed. But you know what? Bob had no confidence in us. Just like you, sir. Just like you, lady. A teenager, just like you. You have no confidence in Jesus Christ. And you think you can go to heaven by climbing the rope of good works. Or by your baptism. Or your catechism. But no man can climb out of the tank of sin on his own. And this man was a man full of unbelief. But third of all, the Word of God says, he was a doomed individual. Did you know a man would hang on the cross for several hours? Then a soldier would take a club. He would take the club and then he would literally break both of the legs on that man. And his legs were broken. He longer could hold the weight of his body, upper body, so he would sink down where he would no longer be able to breathe and he would die. And this man, in a few hours, had his legs broken, and he would die, and this man died. If he could come back from the pit of hell today and stand beside me, he would say to you, the congregation, I was the man that dwelled upon Christ. I was a man full of unbelief. Now, I'm a doomed individual for all eternity. This man died without Christ. However, the Word of God says there's another thief. Look, please, at verse 40 and 41. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. Look here, please. I call this thief the repentant thief. How do I know that? First of all, he was a man of honesty. Now that is a shocker. You see, I cut my teeth preaching in South Carolina, North Carolina, and Georgia by preaching in prisons, chain gangs, and jails. I'd walk into a chain gang. I'd say to a guy, why are you here, man? He said, I was framed. I didn't do it, Jerry. I didn't do it. They're con artists. It's rare to walk into a prison like I did in South Carolina. Looked at a man behind the bars. I said, man, why are you in here? He said, Jerry, I killed two ladies. I desire to rot in this jail. A man of honesty. This thief was a man of honesty. He said, in essence, we've been thieves all of our lives. Now we're getting what we deserve. We are paying for our sin. If you're here today and you're unsaved, are you aware before God could ever save you, lady or man? You've got to realize that you're a sinner in the sight of a holy God. Are you aware of that? Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Galatians 3:22 says, but the scripture hath concluded all under sin. And you've got to be a person of honesty and recognize you have sinned against a holy God. But not only was he a man of honesty, look back at verse 42. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, stop right there with the word Lord, the name Lord. Look at me. This man was not only a man of honesty, but second of all, he was a man of perception. He used one word that showed the perception this man had. He looked at Christ and said, Lord. In other words, he recognized that Christ was no ordinary man. He recognized and could perceive that Christ was the Son of God. Today, I would you had the perception and you realize from the Bible that Christ was not just a man, he was the God-man. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, "And by controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." How was God manifest in the flesh? Jesus said in John 14:9, "He that has seen me has seen the Father." In John 10:30, Christ said, "I and my Father are one." Colossians 1:15 says of Christ, "Who is the image of the invisible God." In other words, Jesus Christ was the visible expression of the invisible God. And this man used one word. He showed his perception. He said, "Lord, I know who you are. You're the Son of God. You're the Messiah. You're dying for the sin of the whole world. And I know I'm a thief. I'm dying for my sin. But I know who you are. You're God's Son." But third of all, the Bible says he was a man of humility. Look back in verse 42. "And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me." Now stop right there, please. Look here. There were no doubt thousands upon thousands of people when Christ was crucified. This unusual conversation going on in front of this huge crowd. And this man out loud said to Christ, "Lord, remember me." In other words, he was saying this: "I know I'm going to die for my sin, but I know you're God's Son. You're dying for my sin. And Lord, I'm asking you, would you save me?" That's in essence what the man is crying out. "Lord, remember me. I'm going to die. And Lord, I want you to save me." You know what? I thank God when I was 17 years of age in West Virginia, the one day I recognized I was a sinner. I was bound for hell. I'm not embarrassed to tell you that I bowed on my knee and I cried out. I asked Christ to save me. You know something? You got to humble yourself, lady. You have to, man. You got to realize there's deity. That's Christ. You are a man. You are humanity. We are all sinful individuals headed for the same gate, the gate to death. And you've got to cry out and ask Christ to save you. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And you have to call on him. No one forced this man. He said, "Lord, remember me." He wanted Christ to save him. When he did, look at verse 43. "And Jesus said unto him, Verily," which means truly, "I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." My friend, in a few hours, that man's legs were broken, and he too died. One man died. He railed on Christ, full of unbelief. He died without Christ. The other man, a man of honesty, a man of perception, but a man of humility, cried out, and Christ said to him, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Thank God, my friend, salvation is not a process. Salvation is instant. The Bible tells you in John 3:36, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." And when this man died, he was present with the Lord. Today, you are looking at Christ through the eyes of one of these two men. I would you look upon him through the eyes of the repentant thief and let Christ save you. Let's bow our heads and pray, please.